Hi, I'm Pat Kelly.
And I'm Peter Oldring, and we're the hosts of This Is That.
Are you kidding?
For over a decade, we were radio's go-to source for completely fabricated news.
You must be joking me.
And now, we're back in podcast form.
We've selected some of our favorite stories from over the years and put them in one convenient location.
Sugar in the tap water.
Bilingual dog park. Charging to see wildlife.
This Is That, coming soon on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Q. When was the last time you had your heart broken? One thing you learn by talking to the country singer Mackenzie Porter is that heartbreak isn't just getting dumped. It's not just losing someone. Heartbreak can be not getting a job. Heartbreak can be fighting with a friend. And all those kinds of heartbreak, of course, are great in a country song. Take a listen.
He fell behind on the flowers. I started showing up late.
Mackenzie Porter and Foreclosure. Mackenzie is from a small farming town just out of Medicine Hat, Alberta. Her parents on a ranch raised bison and cattle. And she grew up, you might relate to this, not doing chores, trying to sing. She and her family band, which included her brother Kalen, who went on to win Canadian Idol, they played seniors' homes and small gigs in their community. Flash forward a few years, and Mackenzie's part of one of the biggest country songs of the past decade.
I was just thinking about that weekend.
Mackenzie Porter came in for a conversation about what you learn, good and bad, when your brother wins this big Canadian singing competition, the different types of heartbreak she wanted to talk about on her new record, and as the new mom of a daughter just a few weeks ago, what she wanted to tell her daughter about the life her mom has led. Mackenzie Porter's new album is called Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. Here's our conversation. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Like I said, I've truly wanted to hang with you in studio for a long time, so pumped.
Set a low bar for me. Okay. Set the bar low for me.
No, the bar is high.
Honor. No, well, I'm not going to hit it. Congratulations on this record. It's really beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. In everything I've read you talk about this record, you sort of make it clear that this is not just about or even just about romantic heartbreak.
Right.
Why is that something you keep on bringing up?
I think people get confused when the whole record is about heartbreak. They're like, oh, you're married. You're, you know, in a happy relationship. And like, yes, of course I am. But to me, along the road as I was writing these songs, there's lots of different heartbreak. There's heartbreak, of course, the romantic relationship heartbreak. But then there's, you know, heartbreak within your family. Like if somebody, you know, is diagnosed with somebody, or even like heartbreak within a marriage. There's times where it can be a struggle and a little heartbreaking. And then, of course, for me, heartbreak within a career as well.
Heartbreak within a career?
Yeah, just like there's lots of times in my career that I've thought things were going to go a certain way and I've, you know, put all of my eggs in one basket and it didn't go the way I thought it would. And that it can be heartbreaking when you love something so much.
Why do you think as a writer you're drawn to writing about heartbreak?
I love to feel sad. Something is
all right,
wrong.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey, bye. I need to go see my counselor.
See you
now.
Later. Yeah. I got someone waiting out there. It's Canada, right? So don't worry. It's free. They're waiting for you out there. Everything's okay.
No, there is something in me that I don't enjoy it in the moment, but I'd love to go back to those like sad places and try to like create art from them. Because for me, what I need music for and what I listen to music for is when I'm sad and when I need to like feel like somebody else is feeling the same thing as me.
You listen to music as a bit of a release when you're feeling your worst.
Yeah.
To feel like, okay, someone kind of gets me. So when you write music, you're thinking to yourself, I want to write something like that.
Yeah. And I've had so many people say to me, like, this song has gotten me through this. And I want to continue to do that for people.
There's a song here I want to listen to right now that felt really personal to me, and I was kind of curious about it. So just put that headphone underneath your hat for a second and listen to this. This is the title track, Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart.
January 29th, 10 fingers and 10 toes. First breath for
Mackenzie Porter and Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you. Thank you.
January 29th. That's your birthday?
That's my birthday. That's the day I was born.
January 29th, 10 fingers and 10 toes. Mm-hmm. Why did you start with an image of you as a baby?
I think I wanted to create this image of like pure and innocent and like unscathed by the world yet. You know, we all start off like that. And then life throws so much stuff at you. And throughout that song, I kind of talk about all those things. But at the end of it, I talk about how I'm actually grateful for all those things because they've now made me who I am.
What things do you talk about in the song?
I talk about troubles within your family, mm-hmm. or troubles within a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And I think that those things in my life have always made me stronger and better. And, you know, writing it, I didn't know at the time that I was pregnant. And so the song the song totally took a totally different path and meaning when I found out that I was having a daughter and that she was going to start out so innocent with, you know, 10 little fingers and 10 little toes and have her challenges in life too.
And you can't
control it.
And you can't protect her from it.
No, and honestly, you don't want to. You want that person to, like, experience things and get hurt because they took risks or they loved somebody. And that, you know, in turn, sometimes you get hurt.
Later on in the song, there's a line that's, proof of life is dying with scars. That means you were alive.
Yeah, you went for it. Like, that's my goal, is to always take the risk or take the thing that, like, you might get hurt. You're probably going to fall. You're probably going to fail. You're probably going to get your heart broke. But, I mean, what else? Why else do you live?
Mackenzie, on this record compared to the last record, I do hear you singing sort of existentially on a song like this. Is there anything prompting that?
I think I'm just getting older. I'm getting, you know, a little bit more mature in my songwriting. And of course, I have those moments on the record that are fun and like they're good for concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, big old summer. That's why I tried to say that in the intro. Like, it's a very contemplative, beautiful record about heartbreak and also a good Friday night sitting on the dock record.
Yes.
But go ahead. You were saying.
Yeah, but moments of like, oh, this person's also going through stuff and has gone through stuff. And I wanted those moments on the record too. And I'm just, you know, I'm getting older. I don't want to sing about just drinking beer anymore.
Yeah.
You know, or boys, you know, as much.
Is that a risk in country music?
Probably, but I do think country music is getting more open to all sorts of lyrical content and depth. I mean, there's so many people that are singing about that kind of stuff now. People want to hear that. People want to hear something a little bit more honest, I think.
People want to hear something a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Can I ask a little bit about your growing up so outside of Medicine Hat,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the community outside of Medicine Hat?
So I grew up outside of a town called Irvin. Yes, and the town called Irvin has maybe, I don't know, 1,500 people, like very small. I went to the same school my dad went to. Super small. There was one general store. There was a library. There was a fire hall, and that's about it.
And
a school.
And a ranch. You grew up on a ranch.
Yeah, Cattle and Bison Ranch. It's been in our family for almost, I think this will be 6 generations. Yeah. So in the boonies, literally.
What was life like growing up there?
It was actually really beautiful. I mean, it was my family, my grandparents, and my aunt, uncle, and their two kids. We all lived on this little compound, I like to say.
Oh, wow. So really surrounded by family.
Yeah, really. And we were, we would, you know, do like ranchers kind of thing. Like I barrel raced, dirt bikes, all that kind of stuff. And then we were really heavily involved in music. So we would drive into a town called Medicine Hat after school and do music lessons from like 4 till 9 every night.
I'm sorry to do this to you. You got to back it up with barrel racing because I got into, I've never actually been to it, but I watched the Stampede every year.
Oh, really? You have to come.
You've been there, right?
Yeah, I played it last year.
It's fun, right?
It's so fun. It's a wild time.
Can you tell people listening to this what barrel racing is? So, I think it's awesome. I love barrel racing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're on a horse and you're like racing around barrels and you're competing with people for different times and stuff like that.
And you have to go do a bunch of different spins around a barrel, right?
Yeah.
And you did that as a kid?
I did that. I did, oh my gosh, my parents, I don't know if you've seen the thing where they put like little kids on sheep and like basically send them down. You try to get your kid like bucked off a sheep. I did that, which is, you know, super dangerous. I don't know why my parents put me in that. But I think it was like busting. I can't remember. But they Yeah, we were in all that kind of stuff, and we were little country kids.
Was there any path that you would become the seventh generation? You know, like was that ever expected of you?
Well, my sister is doing that now.
Your sister did take over the farm.
Yeah, she works with my dad, and she works with cattle and stuff like that. She's like an owner in his company. But for me, I don't think they ever saw that. I don't think I was ever cut out to do that. I was more the girl in like sparkles on the stage. Here I am still doing that.
You're right.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about music. You had a family band, I understand?
We had a family band. So it was my cousins, my brother, my sister, and I. And then we had a couple other people that like would fill the holes, but we couldn't play. But we would tour. I mean, it was very like innocent. We'd play at old folks' homes and like community centers.
What kind of songs?
Covers.
Like what?
Like my I only got a couple, but I did... Alanis Morissette, Hand in My Pocket.
Hold on, this is not Chattahoochee.
No.
I was thinking this was going to be Fishing in the Dark or something like that.
Well, we did those too. But we did like an Evanescence song. Yeah, we did.
You did it.
I don't know. My parents picked the songs. Like, we were so little. And
your parents picked up like, Wake Me Up Inside.
Literally, yeah. But then I did like Dixie Chick songs and stuff like that too. It was just kind of a weird mix of... Yeah.
You did One Hand in My Pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
I still do that cover. That cover got me my record deal, I swear to God.
How do you mean?
I played a show with Dallas Smith. I sang that song, and he sent it to Joey Moy, who is my producer and the owner of my label now. And he's like, you should check this girl out. And it was just a cover that I did of that song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever met Alanis?
No. I want to, though. I played Ottawa Blues Fest the same time she did, and I literally ran from my set. Like, after I was done my show, like, peace, to go catch her set.
I'm Tom Power. You're in the middle of my conversation with the Canadian country singer Mackenzie Porter, just telling us a little story about Alanis Morissette there. Mackenzie grew up in Alberta on a bison and cattle ranch in a musical family. She listened to Shania and Garth Brooks and Alanis in the family truck on her way to music lessons, and she and her siblings had a lot on the go. When it came to music, Mackenzie Porter told me she hated practicing, she loved performing, and she loved being part of her family band, whose name I'm still sort of dealing with. I'll let her take it from here.
I loved performing, hated practicing, hated going to lessons, but like the second I got onto a stage, loved it. I still do.
What was the name of the band?
The band was called You're Gonna Die. It's literally, okay. My cousin, we were like 14, 13 years old, so we thought this was hilarious. My cousin said he had SWAS. The band was called SWAS.
SWAS.
Yeah, do you know what SWAS?
No.
Okay, so he was playing the drums.
Is that a medicine hat expression that I don't
probably
know?
Probably.
Okay.
He was playing the drums, and he's like, man, I got SWAS. And we're like, what's that? And he's like, it's sweaty ass.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, we should name the band that, but not tell our parents, because they won't know what it is. And so they're like, what do you want the band names to be? And we're like, SWAS. They did not know.
And they were like, oh, that's a cute name.
Yeah, and inside we were all like, hee, hee, hee. Like, we said to swear.
So let me just be clear about this. You were showing up to old folks' home in the greater Medicine Hat region singing Evanescence songs.
Yep.
And with your band being called
SWAS. Yes.
Real wholesome stuff going on out there in the old.
I know. We were little messes, but it was like our one thing that we thought was hilarious.
And you knew you wanted to be a performer from those moments.
I did. Yep.
In 2004, your brother, and I didn't know he was your brother, Kalen Porter, wins Canadian Idol. Mm-hmm. Now, I've known your music for a while, and I didn't know until I got ready for this interview that that was your brother.
Yeah, my older brother.
In 2004, Canadian Idol was a really big deal.
It was huge.
I remember when Newfoundlanders were on it, and it felt like the entire province was watching. Mm-hmm. Jason Greeley was on it, Rex Gowdy was on it, Jenny Geer was on it. We all glued to the TV.
Yep.
What was the night like that he won?
Oh my gosh, crazy. I mean, like when I say we were from this very small town, none of us had ever even been to Toronto. And the first trip I ever made here was to go watch one of the tapings. And we thought it was like the biggest deal ever. It really was, like you said, at that time. Like everybody was watching it and the show was big. And he did not want to go on to the show. My mom basically made him. She's like, just audition for it. Like, you're never going to win. Just like, you know, just go have fun. Of course, he did win.
He won.
But it changed his life in a big way, in like a good and a bad way. And for me, it was really cool to, you know, I didn't know anything about the industry or know even what jobs were in the industry or what a record deal was or what a publishing deal was. And I got to learn a lot of that through him and that show.
Does it change anything for you when your brother
wins? Like, does it make you want to pursue music more, or does it actually maybe make you want to pursue music less?
It made me want to pursue it more because I did love like a lot of the things I saw him doing, and I really wanted to do that. And I do remember being like, "Do you think I could come up and like sing harmonies with you?" And I never got to. He was always like, "No, you got to do your own thing and like your own path in like a loving way."
Yeah.
But I also got to see like you know, some of the things that he went through that I got to avoid because
yeah, I didn't know he had a rough road. Hey.
Well, just like the deals are rough.
Yeah.
And you know, he had so much love from so many fans, but in turn, you know, you get some negative stuff that comes with that as well.
Yeah, of course. I remember some of that.
Yeah.
So you're thinking to yourself, and thank you for talking about this, by mm-hmm. the way. You're thinking to yourself, I gotta be careful here.
Yeah. I mean, even when I first signed my first publishing deal, you know, we had lawyers look at it. I'm not even sure that they had lawyers look at the deals yeah. he signed, you know, because you just don't know when you don't know. And you know, my family wasn't in entertainment. Like I said, they were small town ranchers. So I did get to skip some of the steps that he had to, you know, unfortunately go through.
Why did you go to acting around the same time?
Well, I also, again, loved performing. And how it all happened was there was an acting coach in Medicine Hat, my small town, and she was doing film and TV classes, basically, for 18 above. I was 12. And I called her and was like, "Hey, I really want to take your class." And she's like, "Oh, it's 18 above." And I couldn't get into class, but she said that she would teach me privately. So I started studying with her, and she ended up getting my agent. So I started professionally acting and booked my first job at 16. And how I got into songwriting was when I turned 18, I couldn't land a job for some reason. Like, I had been working quite consistently, and then I don't know if I was in like a insecure phase or whatever, and audition casting could like read that on me or feel that. I just couldn't land a job. So I started writing songs and trying to like have a different outlet for myself.
You end up moving to Nashville pretty soon after that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sort of going, "Hey, this is where country music is. This is where I want my career to be." That's a risky move.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and hard too with like, you don't have a green card. You don't have any way to like live there. So I would, you know, probably shouldn't say this on air, but like sneak across the border and be like, "Oh, I'm just going to go hang out and like go to a concert." But I would go to write songs.
Yeah.
They didn't care. I wasn't making any money. So
it's, yeah, yeah. At this point, I think you're all right.
Yeah.
But you were sort of driven to go down there.
Mm-hmm. And it was hard. Like, I didn't know anybody, and I didn't have any friends for a long time, and I didn't have much money. So I had to, you know, figure that all out when I first moved to Nashville.
It strikes me that you were sort of, and I want to say this in the most generous way possible, you were interested in going to Nashville and sort of going to the country music thing as opposed to like sort of staying in the Canadian country music thing.
Yes.
This is a dangerous topic.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, for me, I think if you want to be the biggest country star that you can, or the artist, you have to be in Nashville. You can have a beautiful career up in Canada, but like the best songwriters in the most dense area are in Nashville. There's just hundreds and hundreds of them. So I did know I wanted to move there, but also coming back and like, you know, building my career here. But I always knew it was Nashville for me.
But it is, you can tell from this record, a lonely experience. And I know people and you know people. I mean, you were one of these people who mm-hmm. moved down from Canada with all sort of dreams in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's actually kind of hard to meet people, and it's mm-hmm. actually kind of hard to make connections. And yeah, there's a ton of songwriters, but you're not really necessarily meeting them, and you're, you know, eating Taco Bell and going home and watching Netflix. You know, yeah. God love them, right?
You
know?
Yeah, you do.
So there's a song on this record that sort of made me think about that. This is Nightingale. Just take a listen mm-hmm. to this. The world's like the sky, so big and so high. There's a risk you might fall, but a chance you might fly. Mackenzie Porter with a song from her new record called Nightingale. Mackenzie's new album is called Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
It feels like you're trying to tell yourself a past version of yourself something. What are you trying to tell mm-hmm. yourself?
I'm trying to tell myself, you know, when I first moved to Nashville, I was so in my music, like so confident. And so I would walk into a room. I literally walked into my record label and asked for a record deal.
Hold on, what do you mean?
So I was, Dallas Smith introduced me to Joy Moy. And after I hung out with him one time, I emailed him and was like, hey man, loved meeting you today. You should give me a record deal. I'm awesome. We should work together. You should produce my record. And that's how the whole relationship started. I literally just asked for it. And over 10 years of being in that town, you know, there's so much competition and it's so hard. And I think I've gotten a little bit like beaten down by it a little bit. So the song is for me to remind myself to be the girl who showed up in Nashville, not the one who's been there for 10 years.
What does it look like to be beaten down in Nashville?
I think just like anything from getting a song at radio. It's so hard. You know, you have to, it has to react. It has to do all this stuff. I've gotten my singles pulled from radio before just because they didn't react as well. And that's, you know, that's my, it, the song that I wrote didn't react, which is fine.
That's a thing?
Oh, yeah. But that happens all the time.
You put out a song, it gets played on country radio, people say...
It doesn't chart, like, so it doesn't move up the charts.
And they take it away.
And they take it away, which is the business, and...
But you're thinking to yourself, sorry to interrupt you, yeah. You're thinking to yourself...
This is my song.
I got it. Yeah. I got one on the radio.
Yeah, totally. And that happens all the time for different people. But when you have it in your head and you put so much into it and, like, that's your dream, it can be pretty crushing. Or just, like... you know, hearing no's like, oh, this songwriter doesn't want to write with you. Even those little no's hurt.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know any of that when I first moved to town. And I would enter a room with a different sort of confidence than I do now, honestly, because I know the town a little bit more and I know the industry a bit more. And yeah.
What did you have to draw on to keep going in the face of all those no's? Because a lot of people go home.
Yeah. Probably just delusion. It's like me just being completely delusional, thinking like do the same thing and get a different outcome. Because I love it so much. And I definitely take things to heart. Like I'll have a bad show or have a no, like a door shut. And I will be sad for a day. And then I wake up the next day and I'm just like ready to go again. I think that's like one of my best qualities is like I have a pretty thick skin.
Where does that come from? From your folks or from?
Probably my folks and like being in entertainment. Like I really did start in acting, which is another, you know, avenue where the doors are shutting constantly since I was 16. So I'm pretty used to it. And I've realized over the whole course of my career that like if that door shuts, it's just the wrong door. Thinking about whose hands at the window on the windows down.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to my conversation with the Canadian country singer Mackenzie Porter. Her new album is called Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. Coming up, she'll tell you how life changes, like day and night, when you get a hit in Nashville, and why it's not always necessarily a good thing the way your life changes after you have a hit in Nashville. It's after this on Q.
One of the best shows of the year, according to Apple, Amazon, and Time, is back for another round. This season, we're diving deep into some of McCartney's most beloved songs. Yesterday, Band on the Run, Hey Jude. And McCartney's favorite song in his entire catalogue. Here, there, and everywhere. Listen to Season 2 of McCartney, A Life in Lyrics on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll never forget this time in my life, obviously. Like, the busiest I've ever been, the most sleep deprived I've ever been, but like the happiest with, obviously I have like the most love I've ever felt, but I also get to do the thing I've been trying to do for so long, is put out this record.
Yeah, it's hard waking up in the morning, and it's hard getting sleep at night.
I'm Tom Power, you're listening to Q. You know that feeling where it feels like everything's happening at the same time? That's, you could tell from when she was sitting in front of me, that's what the Canadian country singer Mackenzie Porter is going through right now. Just put out a new album. It's called Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. It's a great, great country record. Spent years working on it. Also, just a few weeks ago, became a mom for the first time. So yeah, a lot going on. This isn't the first time Mackenzie's had a lot going on, though. In the next part of our conversation, we're going to talk about how she landed a record deal pretty much at the exact same time she was cast in a big Netflix show. Take a listen.
When you booked Travelers, the big sci-fi Netflix show, mm-hmm. how did you juggle making music with having a full-time acting job?
I didn't really.
Oh, yeah?
Not really. I mean, I signed my record deal 2016. Within a month and a half, I'd booked Travelers. So I called the head of the label and was like, hey, do you think I should do the show? And he's like, yeah, I think you should go do it, and we'll just make it work in between. And we did fly writers up on the weekends and stuff, but it did delay everything. I didn't get to put out music till 2018, I guess, because I was just so, I mean, you're working 5 days a week for, you know, 14 hours a day. There's not really much time to do anything else. And music is so, you know, you have to be on the road and you have to be writing songs every time and or every day. And there wasn't really much time. So it did push my career back a little bit on the music side.
Is there a part of you, I don't know if you can answer this, is there a part of you in those moments being like, I just want to get out and play music? I don't want to, you know?
Well, I mean, I loved what I was doing, but there was definitely like other people I was watching that were like moving faster in music that I was jealous of.
Yeah.
You know, just wanting to be like, I want to be out on the road and touring and playing music too.
Eventually it really does happen. I mean, as I mentioned, hundreds of millions of streams online. Mm-hmm. And then this song happens, and just take a listen to this.
I was just thinking about that we get out of common and late, and now we're timing bad news will be made out in the rain, where we were chasing falling stars on a hill at your daddy's farm. Don't be sorry for calling me.
Mackenzie Porter, big song with Justin Lynch, a song called Thinking About You. What a big song that turned out to be, Mackenzie.
Yeah, I know.
Holy moly.
I know. It was a bit of a monster in the best way.
Again, and a big American song, big song worldwide.
Yeah.
Is there, and now I don't know because I can't tell from talking to you, is there a part of you that gets to breathe out now and go like, okay, we kind of did it?
No, it's the opposite, I find. Like, I feel more pressure because I want another one to do it. I want one of my own songs to do it.
As opposed to a feature on another song.
Yes. So I feel like they're like, okay, she did that as a feature. Like, what she got? And so I, for me, for this record, felt more pressure because of that song. And that song, I mean, it changed a lot of things for me. Like, people knew my name then. So I felt like, and this could be just me too, but I felt like they were, you know, wondering what I was going to do next.
Give me an example of something that changes when you have a hit song in Nashville. I hear it's all different. I hear the life for someone who gets a hit song in Nashville versus someone who doesn't is a different life. Give me an example of something that changes.
I think the pressure changes. Like, I really do. I think you get that first one and you think you're going to feel a certain way. And the thing that you feel is like, now I need another one, which is really sad, but it is kind of true. But you do get to write with better writers. I mean, not better writers, but more people that have had more hits, I guess. That definitely changes. And when radio knows your name, you get, you know, more opportunities at radio too.
Yeah, you wrote one of the songs on the record, if not a couple of the songs. What's the name of that dude? The guy who wrote Before He Cheats for Carrie Underwood. I can remember his name.
Oh, Chris Tompkins?
Yeah, isn't he on this?
Yes.
He's on this
record
too.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's like such a creative brain, wild, wild guy. He's so fun.
So as I mentioned, you just became a mom. Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday, basically.
It's up to you to tell me how long ago. Yeah, not that long ago.
No, like 6 weeks. Yeah, 6 weeks ago. It's, you know what? I didn't necessarily think this was all going to happen at the same time.
Yeah.
That wasn't the plan, but it did. And it's the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just because I am able to have a daughter and have like this, you know.
Yeah, so I should point out that my why was not...
Why do you like being
I know, I know. No. That's not what I wanted that to sound like. I heard it sound like that.
No.
I was like, because I meant like, hey, you're doing all this stuff. You're putting out a record. You're doing a lot of promotion. You're doing a lot of press. There's a lot of pressure on you, and you're a new parent.
Yeah.
That's like, and you were like, this is the best thing. And I went, why? Not, hey, I just became a mother.
Why?
Went, why is that so good?
Yeah.
Accountability.
Hey, at like 3 a.m, it's not so good. I'll tell you that. No, but it like, it really is cool. I'll never forget this time in my life, obviously. Like, the busiest I've ever been, the most sleep deprived I've ever been, but like the happiest with, obviously, I have like the most love I've ever felt, but I also get to do the thing I've been trying to do for so long, is put out this record.
That being said, it's a record about heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a record about disappointment. It's a record about all the hard things that you've gone through. And as you mentioned at the, in that song we listened to off the top, no one comes into the world with disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they happen to you over time.
Mm-hmm.
When your daughter's old enough to listen to this record, what do you hope she hears?
I hope she's proud. I have like in the footnotes of the record, the last line of my like thank you is, you know, at when this record comes out, you'll be about a month old, and I hope you're proud of me. And I mean, I could literally just cry thinking about it, but I hope that she. I hope that
I got,
like,
I got a tissue.
I literally never cry, so this is, you know, it's like leaving even for a day is hard, and there's like lots of guilt with that. But I hope that she can be proud of what I'm putting out and what I'm releasing and why I have to be gone the odd time.
Yeah, of course. And I think she's going to hear you go through this, sing so openly about all the hard stuff you've gone through. And I mean, how can you not be proud of that?
Yeah, thank you.
When our moms go through that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the hormones, you guys. I still got the postpartum hormones.
It's so nice to finally meet you in person.
You bring this out in people, I feel like. You bring out the emotion in people.
Oh, I'm still, yeah, I guess
in
that's
the best way.
Yeah, I mean, not as fun at Pizza Nova, but you know what? it's all right when you're here.
Yeah.
A big fan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming. And Mackenzie Porter's new album is called Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. We're going to play Bet You Break My Heart. Tell me a little bit about that song.
Yeah. Another heartbreak. Surprise, surprise. No, this one is like, you know what?
Look into the camera. don't.
Something's
wrong
with me.
I'm joking.
No, this one is more like, you know, going into a relationship where you know.
Yeah.
You know it's not good and you don't care. You just, you know, you're ready for the repercussions, whatever they may be.
You look like a 10 in a Tennessee t-shirt. Got me thinking three-word crazy right now. Heartbeat on it straightaway like I'm on the last lap. Talladega too fast, ain't slowing down. It won't be long till you leave me hurting. You put the gun in a bottle of bourbon. Bet you break my heart, bet you wreck my summer. Get me falling like a phone.
I love a big top 40 country song. I spend a lot of time in the car listening to like the country radio stations and CBC, of course. Mackenzie Porter with Bet You Break My Heart from her new album, Nobody's Born with a Broken Heart. That song, by the way, co-written by Canadian Travis Wood. That new record's out everywhere now. That is it for us today. The other conversation we have up today is with two choreographers who happen to be brothers from Toronto who are now nominated for a Tony for Best Choreography. The Cooperman brothers will be here to talk a little bit about how being dragged to their martial arts and dance classes as kids is the thing that made them who they are today. So if you have kids and they don't want to go to martial arts, tell them you can win a Tony. In 30 years, maybe that's not healthy. I don't know, but I mean, it's healthy for the Cooperman brothers. Maybe I don't. You know, I don't have kids. I shouldn't be weighing in on this. Go check it out on the podcast wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you soon. Later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.